2 Corinthians chapter 8, and let's stand as we read this passage together. I'll read it to you, actually, verses 1 through 15, a fairly long passage. It's been good to be with you. Let me just encourage every one of you to put a card in the offering plate. I want you to do it for me. You don't put your name on it, and I want to tell you why. Because if you don't, then I won't be able to know what progress you've made in giving, and by my sharing your progress in giving your promises with other churches, it encourages them. And here we have a story about the church at Philippi, the churches at Macedonia, and primarily the church at Philippi, encouraging the church at Corinth to give to missions, to give to, for the cause of Christ. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, Paul said to the church at Corinth, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and the deep poverty, their deep poverty abounded unto riches of their liberality. For to their power, that which you're able to give, I bear record, and beyond their power, that which they did not have, they were willing of themselves, praying with us much, with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this we did, not as we had hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, utterance, knowledge, and all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also, the grace of giving. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also of that which you have. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless tonight this last message in this Faith Promise Missions Conference. And I pray that if there's one that has not had a supply of an answer from you regarding their giving, that they'll get it tonight, fill that card out and put it in the offering plate, that we might rejoice together at what you've done in the hearts of your people here at Whetstone Baptist Church, and that we can carry the report off to the other churches and encourage them as the church at Corinth was encouraged by the churches at Macedonia and primarily the church at Philippi. We ask your blessing on the evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. Here we have the churches at Macedonia, Philippi in particular. And of course, that refers to the book of Philippians. And they gave to the support of Paul time and again and time and again. The church, Paul says in the book of Philippians. And Paul was writing to Corinth to start a mission program also to give to reach the lost and dying world. I've been to Corinth, my wife as well, and that day and time, they were exactly opposite Philippi. Philippi was in great poverty, and they were in great trial of affliction, and Paul said they were giving out of what they had, and they were giving beyond what they had. Dear friend, Faith Promise Missions is allowing God to give his money through you. Allowing God to give his money through you. You know, anytime he wants, he can chip off a brick in heaven from the streets of gold and ship it down to you if you're willing to let it flow through your hands. And, of course, we start at one level and usually work up to a higher level as we go through life. Now, Corinth was a very, very, very wealthy place, a very prosperous place, a shipping capital of the world. They had so much wealth, they were able to carve what is called the Corinthian Canal. They have a canal for seagoing ships through solid rock, and I don't know how many hundred feet deep it is, but it took several seconds for a rock that I dropped off a bridge to reach the water, that's how far it was. And in that day and time, they carved this canal out of solid rock so that the ships wouldn't have to go around the isthmus of Corinth, which was very, very dangerous. They had ships coming from the north, and they had ships coming from the south, east, and west on the south side of Corinth. Now, so much money in Corinth, that it was a very wicked city. Reminded me of our country today, a very wicked country we have today compared to what we had 50 years ago. A vulgar city, a vile city, and all due to wealth. Dear ladies and gentlemen, today I want to say to you, our country's dying, going to hell because of wealth. We're a wealthy nation. And very frankly, I want to say to you, there's no poverty here. If you go with me to India, where they eat mostly rice, and that's all they eat, and they have a yearly income of $500. Go with me to Africa, to most of the parts of Africa, and they have a yearly income of $400 to $500, and that's every member of the family doing something to earn that income during that year's time. Go with me, if you would please, to the Philippines, and they have a yearly income of about the same as Africa and other parts of the world. Now, this church at Philippi, they had God's grace bestowed on them. God had bestowed or anointed them with grace, or the ability and the power to give money. The ability and the power to do God's will. Grace after salvation is a desire and the power to do God's will. And tonight, I beg of you to have the desire to do God's will. And when you have the desire to do God's will, and you step out and you put on that card what God tells you, then God will give you power to do God's will in your giving. Of course, grace for the unsaved person is the unmerited favor of God on that lost and dying soul. Oh, thank God that He has unmerited favor for the young lady that got saved today on the third floor across from my hotel room. She received Christ. She did not even know the story of the cross. An adult woman with three children did not know the story of Adam and Eve. Took some time with her, and she was like a newborn babe desiring the sincere milk of the Word, Miss Holly, and drink it in, the Word of the God, with tears in her eyes, reveling in what Christ had done for her, and her sins had been put on Jesus Christ on the cross, and a little while later she wept her way to Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, I could have stood there for hours and taught her the Word of God out of the very Bible I hold here today if she had not been working. And Pastor and I went by her house this afternoon, and we were welcomed there. A hovel of a place, a poor place. But dear friends, poverty, you don't have to stay in poverty. You can get out of poverty. Oh, she said, come back. I need to go get my children. So the pastor, she knows who she is, and now he can go back and perhaps the pastor's wife and sit down with her and teach her the precious Word of God. In that same building, we went started to go back to get in the van, and the lady in the back of the house said she saw we were preachers, and whether by the cause of the sign on the van or the fact that we looked like Mormons, I don't know which. She said, would you come and pray with my sister-in-law? She has cancer. Found out yesterday she has cancer. So we went around to the front of the house, and she went in the front door, and I don't know why she did all that, because she's on the back porch. She's just going to walk through the kitchen. But anyway, that's what we did. And the lady came out, and her husband came out, and they sat down on a glider on the front porch, and I sat down right across from them. And I took the Word of God and then opened it up, this same Bible right here that I have in my hand, and taught her out of James chapter 5, how that if any of you are sick, let him call for the elders, and anoint him, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and so on and so forth. And I taught her about building her faith. I said, do you have a Bible? She said, it's packed away. I said, find it somewhere. Read this book. I sent a sister-in-law in the kitchen to get some oil. She came out with cooking oil. I told her to get me some olive oil or some cooking oil. And if they had neither, to bring me some motor oil. The Bible doesn't say what kind of oil. Amen. You can laugh once in a while. And I anointed her with oil, laid my hands on her, and prayed that God would heal her body and remove the cancer from her liver and from her lung. Several spots on the liver, the lung is cancer, and they're not sure about the liver, and they'll get reports in a few days. Now listen, Listen to me. Those people at Philippi were poor as Job's turkey. The people we visited today are poor, poor, poor people. They live in a poor place. Both the visits that we made. But I want to tell you something. Those folks don't have to stay there forever. As God bestows the grace on them to step out and work and earn a living, America is a place of opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. America is the land of the free and the home of the brave, and we don't have to stay on this level. We can grow and grow and grow and grow income-wise, but usually not only does it take your effort, but it takes the grace of God, especially for a man that's saved. As he gives, God gives back to you. As you give, God gives back to you. As you give, God gives back to you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Press down, running over, shaking together, running over, so shall men give unto your bosom, for what the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. When I was a kid, I played in the sand pile. And back before plastic shovels, I had a little steel shovel and a little steel bucket. They didn't have plastic then, back in 1857. Amen. And I played in the sand pile, and I'd make castles and all that stuff. I remember doing that behind 59B Gorman Lane, Reading, Ohio, after we'd moved out of Kentucky for my dad and mom to find work in the industrialized North. As the whole north part of Ohio was covered at one time in the 40s and 50s with people just like that. Later on, I learned how to use a foxhole shovel. There's a big sand pit across the street. I mean, sand everywhere. And we take that foxhole shovel, and I could really move dirt as an adolescent. We dig big holes in that sand pit and make caves in there. It's a wonder they didn't cave in on us. And have a lot of fun moving that sand. What I'm saying, first I started out a little shovel like this. Then I had a foxhole shovel about like this. Later on, Dad Buddy's first house. He was injured on the railroad, and I think they gave him a settlement, and he just paid for the house $10,000 cash. I'm not sure that's true. And a brick home. But he always would buy something that was scratched or dented. He bought a house with a ravine in the backyard, thinking we were going to fill it with dirt. Well, guess who had to fill it with dirt? You're looking at it. And so I learned what a long-handled shovel was. He had double-axled dump trucks come in there and dump dirt 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 till I thought there wasn't any more dirt left on the globe. And I had to level that dirt by hand. They started to build a subdivision behind us. And Dad paid the man, the road grader man, $20 to bring the road grader over that he was getting all the dirt up to level some hills over there. And Von DeHaar's dairy farm. And bring it and dump it in our ravine. And so he brought dirt, and he brought dirt, and he brought dirt, and he brought dirt, and he brought dirt. And guess who? Yours truly had to level it. I know what a long-handled shovel will do. And I know they do wear out, and you have to get a new one once in a while. You see, I grew from a little shovel and learning how to move dirt to a little bigger shovel and a lot bigger shovel. Later on, when I'd go to Kentucky for the summer to help my Uncle Hubert haul coal from the coal mines to the farmers, and I had a big scoop shovel about like this, kind of like a grain shovel, and back-breaking work. Some of those lumps of coal, pretty good size, and filling those old coal bins for those farmers for the winter, and hot work off that old flatbed truck, and grain truck, I guess, in the time and day when it was needed for that. And I learned how to use various size of shovels. Now, early in life, I learned how to give. My first gift was $5 to Faith Promise Missions. And then I learned how to give more every week and more every week and more every week as God laid it on my heart and as God led me to do so. Until at one point in life, I was giving 65%. We were giving $750 a week when I had a business running and teaching at the college. And that's not shambles, folks. God will bless you if you learn how to pick up your giving. Amen. Just stretch out your faith. Ask God. Step out on the water, just like the priest did in the Old Testament, and the River Jordan divided. If you don't step out, friends, there'll be nothing happen. Oh, listen, that church of Philippi, even though they were poor, they stepped out. And Paul is admonishing the people at Corinth, go on and step out. You've got all this money there. You've got all the wealth there. Get out there and do it. Whether you're rich or poor, ladies and gentlemen, you need to step out at your level. Whether you're a teenager or a preteen, step out at your level. Just do something for Christ. If it's a quarter a week or 50 cents a week for a small child, or a dollar a week for a teenager, or $5 a week for a teenager, whatever it might be, step out and let the grace of God flow through you. Faith Promise Missions is giving God's money by faith. But you see, he won't send it your way until you agree to give it. You say, well, I'll give it when he sends it. It doesn't work that way, folks. You have to be willing to give it up front. If the widow woman in Kings that we talked about, I believe last night, had not given the cake to Elijah first, she'd have never had her barrel filled nor her cruse of oil. Amen. If the little boy in John chapter 6 had never given his 5 loaves and 2 fishes to Jesus, he had never had 12 baskets full. And Luke 6:38, the first word is give. Not wait till you receive. It's give. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. I wrote this message today, and I'm already off my course of preaching, but we do what God says. Amen. Now, the first word in Luke 6:38 is give, because you're not going to get back till you start giving. I'm going to get home at 8:05 tomorrow morning, Lord willing. I'll leave here at 8:05. I'll touch ground at 8:05. Isn't that interesting? There is a time change. So I said to my wife, you better be at the cell phone parking lot about 9 o'clock. I'll call you when I get to the curb with my luggage, and you can come and get me. Now, the first thing I'll do, she'll get out of the car, and we'll open the trunk, and I'll load the luggage, and I'll give her a big kiss. But you know what? She's not going to kiss me if I don't kiss her. You get what you give. Amen? Now, look in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance. What do you have? The first place, ladies and gentlemen, is to step out with what you've got, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. The first that comes in, the first maters on the vine belong to God. The first rhubarb in the spring belongs to God. The first peaches on the peach tree belong to God. The first apples on the apple tree belongs to God. The first cherries on the cherry tree belongs to God. And a full tithe belongs to God on all those things. If you've got carrots in the ground, 10% of those carrots belong to God. If you've got radishes in the ground, 10% of those radishes belong to God. Dear friend, I've never thought about it, but I grow flowers for my wife to enjoy during her prayer life every morning, 2 hours, every morning, looking out the back window at her flower garden. I have never thought of it. And one day recently, the Holy Spirit said, son, how come you don't tithe on those flowers? And I said, oops. You know, I'm several years behind in tithing on flowers, about 10. I'm going to have to find me a lot of flowers and carry to widows. I'm going to have to find me a lot of flowers and carry them to nursing homes. I'm going to have to fly me a lot of flowers and carry to hospitals somewhere, because I haven't tithed on my wife's flower garden for 10 years. At one time in my life, when I kind of made a little swerve in life, you know, we do that sometimes, and I wasn't giving all that I should have been giving, God taught me that I needed to make up my back tithe. Some of you haven't tithed, perhaps, in past years. You need to go back, figure out what it was, and make a payment book and make an agreement with God. If it's $10,000, make $5 a month, $5 a week, $1 a week, whatever you can give, $10 a week, whatever. Make up your back tithe. Leviticus 27:31, and add 20% interest. I did it. The moment I did that, the moment I made the agreement with God, God gave me what I call a financial release. And God began to bless me abundantly financially, because I agreed to pay back what I'd stolen from God. Let's stay here just a moment from verse 9, chapter 3. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. That's their savings account. And thy presses burst out with new wine. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I hear it all the time. If I ever win the lottery, I'm going to give half of it to God. If they don't give half to God now, they won't have to give half to God then, dear friend. You won't give any more to God now than you would when you win the lottery. And by the way, let me say this, gambling is sin. I preached it hard and strong last week up in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, in an Indian church. They have their own casino. And I preached hard against gambling and the sin of gambling. And I said, I know your nation gets money from the receipts on this casino, but ladies and gentlemen, our taxes are supporting the bankrupt people that go bankrupt at the tables of the casinos. And they're raising our taxes because we allow those stupid casinos to be there. Far as I'm concerned, if they were burnt to the ground, it wouldn't hurt one thing at all. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Leviticus chapter 27. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus, chapter 27. I want to reiterate while you're turning, that means repeat. Reiterate what I said. I need you to fill out a card and turn it in. Don't put your name on it. Some of you have been visiting, and your church doesn't have a faith promise mission program. Give your tithe to the church, put your faith promise here. Just step out. Let God bless you because you're giving to faith promise. Now, I'm not trying to take away from that church, but if they don't have the program, why don't you join in with those who do have? Or just move your membership, like a couple did this week on Sunday. Amen. There you go. Leviticus 27:30. And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is, say the next word with me, holy. It is holy unto the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the tithe is holy unto the Lord. When Belshazzar went to Israel and sacked Jerusalem and took all the gold and silver and all the precious things out of the temple, carried him off to Babylon and put him in storage. And one night he was having a drunken orgy, and he sent the servants to get the gold and silver chalices to drink wine out of, drunken orgy. And when he did so, a hidden hand came upon the wall and wrote, Mene, Mene, McPherson, and found weighed in the balances and found wanting. Ladies and gentlemen, when we steal from God, we are weighed in the balances and found wanting. He lost his entire nation that night as the Medes and the Persians came in under the, they diverted the Euphrates River and came in under the gates that they had over the Euphrates River, and they conquered Babylon that night in one night. Because a king had taken that which belonged to God and converted it to his own use. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't steal the tithe from God. The tithe is holy unto God. And the tithe is not under the law. The tithe is before the law. Abraham tithing till Melchizedek, the king of Salem, or the king of priests. The king of peace, that is. Let me tell you something tonight. I want to get it through your noggin. And if you don't tithe at all, you don't tithe at all. If you don't tithe on your reddishes, you don't tithe at all. If you don't tithe on your lettuce, you don't tithe at all. You say, how do I do that? You pick some and take it to a widow somewhere. You pick some and take it to a needy family somewhere. Pick some and take it to your pastor. Amen. He needs it. I can tell. He's so skinny around the waist. You got maters, and they don't have mater vines, you take some to them. Whatever. 10% of everything belongs to God. Amen. The first peaches off our peach tree, big as softballs, went to the pastor. Now, we didn't have a lot of good peaches, you know. They had some worms in them and all kinds of things, I guess. Birds were pecking on them and all that. I'd peck on them too if I was a bird. They were good peaches. Just stick your face inside of one of those and you can squirt it in both ears and up your nose at the same time. They were good. Make your tongue slap your brain. But 10% of that belongs to God. Now, I've got an apple tree and I got old knobby apples on it. I haven't sprayed them and the tree's not doing really well, but if there's anything good on it, it's going to the preacher. Amen. I won't give God my crippled animal, if you please. And this Leviticus 27:30 teaches that, 31 and through that chapter. Don't give God that which is blemished. Give God the best. If I have to go out and buy something unblemished and give to the preacher, I'll do that. Amen, Brother Smith. Oh, I can see it now. Our flower garden is wilting away now, but next year I can see flowers on the pastor's wife's table. Hello? I can see it next year. I can see flowers on some widow's home table. I can see it now. Next year, I can see flowers in the nursing home for some person sitting there without any joy in their life. I can see it now. Next year, we're going to tithe on my wife's flower garden because that is part of our increase. You say, Brother Smith, you're a nut. Yes, I am. Screwed on the right bolt. Amen. We're to tithe on all our increase. Well, tonight, the church at Philippi, they gave out of their want and out of their poverty, and they gave not only to their own power, but beyond their power. How'd they give beyond their power? They decided they gave their own selves first, and they stepped out and said, God, you supply it, we'll give it. And God gave it. And if that's not faith promise, nothing is. Their poverty. Oh, I mentioned earlier, we have no poverty in America. We have the land of opportunity, the land of plenty, the land where anybody can work that wants to work. We have a paraplegic that works at our church. Fell off his ladder painting and is a paraplegic. And he learned to use a computer with a pencil in his mouth. And now he does an awful lot of work for the Lord Jesus Christ at the church. Why? He taught himself how to work. He won't stay home and collect unemployment or whatever. He's working and serving God. Amen. Folks that are poor don't have to stay poor. I was born in a borrowed bedroom because my folks did not have a place to live. But we didn't stay poor. We did something about it. We got out and worked and watched God bless the performance. The church at Philippi gave joyfully. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. It's a lot of fun to give. I love to give. I really do. I gave the gospel today to the lady that cleans the rooms, and she received Christ. I gave the gospel to three other ladies this week that clean rooms, and they received Christ. I gave the gospel to the lady at a restaurant yesterday, her first day on the job. If I'd have gone the day before, she wouldn't have been there. If I'd have gone there today, she might not have been there. I don't know. Her first day on the job. She got saved. Amen. Well, listen to me. It's a joy to give the gospel, and it's a joy to give financially. Would you ask God what He'd have you do? I put something in the offering plate, I believe, every time the plate was passed this week. I sit there and I said, God, what would you have me to do? Now, last night He told me to do something I didn't want to do. But you see, I didn't rebel at Him. I didn't question Him. I said, yes, sir. Amen. And tonight, if you haven't turned in your faith promise card yet, it may be that you don't know how God's going to make that up for you and how God's going to do that. But it's not for you to know. Did you know how God was going to save you when you got saved? No, you didn't. It was all a mystery, wasn't it? But you believed this book. And after all the preaching this week, if you don't believe that God will bless you in giving, stepping out by faith and giving, something's wrong. Amen. All the performance, they gave joyfully. They gave liberally. Oh, listen, it's your turn, ladies and gentlemen. Look at me. It's your turn. It's your turn. It's your turn. It's your turn. It's your turn to step out just like they did. The widow Zarephath stepped out. She gave first. The little boy with five loaves stepped out and gave first. The widow with the two mites in the New Testament stepped out and gave first. Abraham left his Ur of Chaldees. A very wealthy man left everything behind because God said, go. Tonight, I'm so delighted that the pastor's daughter last night gave her heart to missions. Tonight, there may be someone else here that needs to give their heart to full-time service, perhaps to missions. And until you make that decision, until you step out, you'll be miserable if God's calling you to do that. The performance of the power. Faith promise is giving by the empowerment of God through your faith. God can't give through you unless you step out by faith and make the commitment. Empowerment of God through your faith. That's faith promise. Oh, listen. We were in a revival in my church in Arkansas, I've mentioned already. A couple nights the offering plate came by, and I was sitting out there with my wife, and Lord said, give, and I said, how much? He said, $50. I put it in. Thought I was done for the week. Then a couple nights later, the Lord said, give. He said, give $1,500. I put it in. A few nights later, he said, give $3,000. I gave it. Didn't question God, but it did make it impossible for us to buy a house in my eyes and in my wife's eyes, because that was down payment money on the house. But God gave us our heart's desire. Beautiful 80-foot-long brick home, 2.5 acres on a nice-sized lake, bass in there that long, that we've never been able to buy if we hadn't given that money in that meeting. You see, you have to give yourself. I went off to Bible college, left a job making $1,000 a week in 1970. Went off to Springfield, Missouri to go to Bible college, and we can't recommend that college anymore. And they're not just King James, and a lot of other reasons. And I left this job making $1,000 a week, and I made $158 in the first 5 months. We paid our bills, paid them on time, stayed in college. I cannot tell you how. But I'll tell you something. God led me to start a business. Within 3 months after that, I had a brand new car. We had all the money we needed, because I gave myself and sacrificed what I was making to do God's will. Changed jobs as the associate pastor in Springfield, Missouri. They were paying me $35,000 a year, and that was good money back then, and it's good money now some places. And that was 1977. And I took pastored in Arkansas, and they paid me $25,000 a year. Didn't blink an eye, because I know my God. You see, most of us look on this level for our supply. But our supply comes from here. Listen, your eyesight comes from there. Your hands that you can work with come from there. Your ears to hear with come from there. Your feet and your legs come from there. Your heart beating comes from there. Your breath, your lungs breathing comes from there. Ladies and gentlemen, your mind functioning comes from God. We need to look to God for our supply. God made up the extra $10,000. I went off to teach it to college at Hiles Anderson College, and the best college in all the world, and what a privilege of my life. And I took a $27,000 a year cut and pay. Woo! How are you going to do that? I don't know. It is not my worry how I'm going to do that. I'm going to work as hard as I can. Give it all I got. I started a construction company. Knocking on doors. Selling the siding, roofing. Second door knocked on, bought a roof. About 2 blocks later, the ladies came by. Come back next summer, spring, sonny. I want a new roof and some gutters and a bay window. She bought them. I knocked several more doors. The lady said, I want a new garage, a new roof, and I want the house painted and a new driveway. Yes, ma'am. Figured that up. Knocked some more doors about 3 blocks later. I got there late on a Saturday afternoon. They said, where have you been? Been waiting 5 hours on you. I said, I'm sorry. I got tied up with a lady down the street. They said, come on in. They were waiting for a siding salesman from Chicago that never showed up. Amen. My first siding job. First week I was in business, folks. Hello? They bought my siding. Now listen to me. God's able to take care of you. We sing the song, but we don't practice it. Amen. Oh, listen. The power of God. Faith promises giving by the empowerment of God through your faith. Power only comes as you step out by faith. Ask God how much. Fill out the card. Put it in the plate. And I beg of you to do so, so that we can have the record and I can carry the blessing. The church is just like yours. The providing or the proving. Prove the sincerity of your love. Paul said to the church at Corinth. Abraham left the Ur of Chaldees and left it all. He proved the sincerity of his love. Jesus left it all in heaven and prove the sincerity of the love. The Philippian church, out of their poverty and beyond their ability, gave to Paul for reaching people for the cause of Christ and proved the sincerity of their love. The passion of Christ. Oh, listen tonight. The persuasion, the proving, the passion of Christ. Christ became poor for our sakes, this text says. Christ bore all your sins in his body on the tree. Christ bore all of your stealing in his body on the tree. He bore all of your lying in his body on the tree. He bore all of your adulteries and all your fornications and all of the sin of your life, all of the vile sin of your life. Can you imagine the vile sin of a whole world placed on our Savior Jesus Christ? Can you imagine the Holy One of God, the Holy, Holy, Holy God Himself hanging on a tree and all the violence of all the sodomy that would ever be committed, all the violence of all the rapists that would ever be committed, all the violence of all the murders that would ever be committed, all the fornication that would ever be committed placed on our Savior Jesus Christ? The passion of Christ. Oh, listen tonight. Perfection bore the sins of imperfection. Perfection bore the sins of the whole world. All of that. Our holy, holy, holy Savior, God, Jesus Christ, impoverished of holiness and loaded with the sins of the world. Our perfect Savior made poor by leaving golden streets for streets of dirt, by leaving mansions in heaven for a manger to be born in, impoverished by leaving worshiping angels and adoring loved ones who've gone on before us, adoring him and praising him, to be nailed to a cross by his own people here on earth. Tonight, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. He's our example, folks. Would you turn loose of your life? God won't take everything. He's left me with a nice home, a wonderful wife, an ability to live. He won't take it all. He wants us to turn loose of it all and let him have control of it. Tonight, God wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants control of your possessions. Tonight, would you lay them on the altar for Jesus? Tonight, if you haven't found God's will yet for your faith promise giving, will you find it at this altar tonight? Would you prove the sincerity of your love, fill out a card, put it in the offering plate tonight? Would you perform the doing of it? Most of you have been this altar several times tonight, this week, but I want you to come again. And just, if you've made your decision and you know what God wants, would you pray for the others? They'll know and do God's will. And if not, just take that prayer sheet that you've got and pray over it. Shall we stand with our heads bowed?